9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Welcome to Hour 3 of Radio Law Talk. It is the 27th of April, 2024. Call us at 855-LAW-RADIO. Denise, go ahead and you can do your little job. 855-LAW-RADIO.
855-529-7234.
And we are just pounding this last hour. We're going to have a case or no case coming up from Cal. We're going to talk about Texas inmates suing over something interesting. And usually we make this as like a joke, like, oh, come on, they're suing. I'm kind of one of those, they might be right on some of this. We're going to talk about that. Movie theaters being sued because of what? And this is a movie theater chain, and you're going to find out why. We've got a guy selling luxury watches that is just been arrested by the FBI, and I want to talk about that when we get some time. And it's that one's going to take a little bit of time because it's a really interesting story, and you have to set the story up to understand it. He's kind of like the time bandit is what it is. We got Uber Eats is hit with a class action lawsuit. And then we finally will talk about a $12 million settlement over those botched Hilco implosion, you know. So we're going to talk about that. And that's what we're here for, but we're here for one thing and one thing only, Cal. You know why. Roll it. It is case or no case.
It's time to play case or no case.
All right, here we go. James was an actor. Years ago, he and two buddies were pulled over by officers for an unspecified cause. The officer found a small revolver in the car. The duty sergeant said they would have to wait, they'd have to post $2,000 in bail or stay in jail until the judge could meet with them. Well, later the duty sergeant remembered that James had been cooperative and told them that the three were actors and the gun was to have been used as a prop in a movie shoot. Nice try, you three. Come with me, the officer said, and away they went. James said, tell the truth and I go to jail. Sorry, said the officer. At the end of the day, the three told their story to the judge and were released after the judge made a couple of quick phone calls. James's daddy decided he would work to see if he could get a couple of bucks from the PD for wrongful arrest. So he wanted to see if he could sue the police department in Hoboken, New Jersey. Want to know if he had a case or no case. And he wants to know who James is, of course. And who's next here? Fred, I think you're on deck.
Yeah, I'm on deck. So
all right.
You've already, Denise, we've got two no cases so far. We got them, right, so far?
Yes.
And I'm thinking he's just going to do another no case. I think he's three no cases in a row. I'm going to say this was not a filed case. Now, they obviously went to the judge. You said they went to the judge. Is that right?
They did. They went to court the next day on a bail hearing.
So then it is a case, right?
Didn't say that.
Okay. So that was a case, but now the law. You're asking about the lawsuit, the civil lawsuit.
Correct.
You're talking about James' dad who's seeing about suing. Is
James'
that
dad says, you can't do that to my kid. I'm going to sue you. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So clearly there was a case because they went before a judge, but was there a civil case sued? And I'm going to say, no, there was not a civil case sued. And because, look, I mean, that's just part of it. I mean, that's just, that happens. No harm, no foul. They weren't prosecuted. No case was filed. And even if there was, it'd be dismissed. But no case was filed. It was a scenario. And let me think about who the person is. James, the actor, and this happened in New Jersey. What year? What decade?
In the 1960s.
Okay.
And
gotcha.
So, by the way, if you get this actor, I will give each of you 4 points, double points.
Woo!
On the actor. Double points. It's not that it's difficult. It's just you probably won't make the connections.
All right. Go ahead.
All right, Tom. Mr. Kunin, what say you, my friend?
You said it was the 60s. Do we know specifically what, late 60s or early 60s?
I don't. I would guess. I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
68, right. 69, that's my guess.
Oh, see.
It makes a difference.
So because I'm thinking about when Miranda versus Arizona and Fourth Amendment rights and what
good,
police
yeah,
can
that's
do.
Good, yeah.
And my question is, what were they pulled over for?
Unspecified.
Unspecified pulled over. And how did the cop find a revolver in the car? I mean, if they were pulled over for speeding, if they were pulled over for, you know.
Did they, like, consent to the search of the car?
He asked them to pop the trunk so we could see what was inside, and they said, okay.
Okay. So here is, I'm going to say that this is a case the dad did file, because the argument here is a civil right violation in the sense that, what authority did the cop have to even ask to get into the trunk? They thought that, you know, if the cop asks, you have to do it. The cop had no business getting into the trunk if he's pulling him over for a traffic violation. This is, you know, the detentions can only occur for as long as it takes to handle the traffic stop. You know, they can't pull you over for speeding and then make you wait an hour for the drug sniffing dog just on a hunch and all that kind of stuff. So I'll say that this is a case, and that, that the plaintiff wins a nominal amount, not much, and I'll think about who James is.
Okay, fair enough. Ms. Dirks, what do you say?
I say that I'm so lucky today because I get to go last on the name of who the famous person is.
That's right, you do.
But you already have to have it in your mind before we talk. That's the rules,
yeah, well,
right?
Well, I have it in my mind
okay,
already.
All right.
So, okay. But I could adjust it.
It doesn't count until you say it. That's right.
Exactly. That's right. Okay. I'm going to say that it's no case.
All right. Fair enough.
And the reason I'm going to say that is because the father has no rights here.
All right, Mr. Penny.
All right.
Who is
see.
James?
I'm the 60s things threw me because I think I got to know when the death of this individual occurred. But I'm going to say James Dean.
Oh, okay. Mr. Kunin, what say you, my friend?
James Caan.
Oh, another
Ooh,
good one.
That's a good one.
Excellent. And
that's
Denise?
Probably safer than James Dean. I had James Dean in my mind,
okay.
So I'll say it. I'm not going to change up.
All right. Well, first off, no case. No
yes,
case.
Yes, Denise. All right. Way Boom. To go. Denise and I, man, we're nailing
Secondly,
them.
James is Alfredo Al Pacino.
Bundy?
Oh, Pacino.
Al Pacino.
Yep, Alfredo.
So what he had, this really happened then, huh?
Yep, his name is Alfredo James Pacino, and that is who it was, and this actually happened to him, except for the dad filing the lawsuit part. That never happened, obviously.
Oh.
But yeah, they got pulled over for having a prop gun, and the cop said, that's it. If you can't post bail, $2,000, you got to go to jail. That's what
had
they did.
Had to be in California. Yeah,
in New Jersey.
Oh, no, New Jersey. Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
Al Pacino.
And Pacino said, can you let me out?
So you're telling me there's a chance.
But no, different guy. Anyway, so
that's a good one, Cal. You did a really good job.
Every once in a while.
All three of them.
Yes.
And Denise, we nailed it because all three were fakes. Well, it was a real scenario, but no cases.
Well, yep. Don't count on that next week.
Okay.
Because it can go either way.
All right.
Okay.
Just wonder if he, you know, made it before the judge and he was like, I'm out of order. You're out of order. You're out of order.
Well,
the whole thing's out of order.
I was going to use it, but it was too obvious. So I just
All right.
Now we have a minute left before we.
All right. Well, come back, we're going to talk about the Texas inmates, what they're suing over. And for once, I'm going to have to say, I'm kind of going, maybe the inmates are right this time. We'll be back.
You are listening to Radio Law Talk on many great radio stations across this country. We thank all of them. And if they decide to shut us down for a little while, you can always find us at RadioLawTalk.com, and we hope you do.
Radio Law Talk and RadioLawTalk.com.
Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease.
These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
Attention! If you owe back taxes to the IRS, the IRS is cracking down by hiring 87,000 new agents to garnish your paycheck and put liens on homes and businesses. They can even seize your bank account. The IRS calls it enforced compliance, and now they have the manpower to get you. Penalties and interest on unpaid taxes compound daily. So call One-Stop Tax Relief Shop and get the IRS off your back. They're experts in the Fresh Start Initiative, one of the biggest breaks the IRS has ever offered. Call 800-501-2533. 800-501-2533. One-Stop Tax Relief has resolved thousands of cases since 2014 and saved clients millions of dollars. Call now for a free consultation. Get the IRS off your back. Call 800-501-2533. 800-501-2533.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-601-8850. 800-601-8850. 800-601-8850.
Who's this for?
That's 800-601-8850. Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-481-5621. 800-481-5621. 800-481-5621. That's 800-481-5621. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Do you have an old car sitting around your house? Maybe you're even paying insurance on it. Well, if you don't need that car anymore, donate it, running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. They will even come and pick it up for free and give you a receipt for a tax donation. Breast cancer screening could save the life of someone you love. And right now, they need your help. They want to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And that's what your old car helps to pay for. So get your phone out and call right now to donate your car to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. Remember, they will come pick it up for free and give you a tax donation receipt. Call right now at 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473. That's 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473.
Things have gotten out of hand with our friend again.
Sit down, shut up, and listen.
You're listening to Radio Law Talk. And now back to the show.
So the Texas inmates are arguing and bringing a lawsuit about they're being cooked to death or being, you know, heated to death or overheated because of there's no air conditioning or very little air conditioning in the facilities. This is what we're trying to figure out. I'm a little confused about this case to determine, they're saying it's unconstitutional and that it is basically it's cruel and unusual punishment. And a lot of them, in fact, what they'll do is they'll turn their water on where they wash their hands, and they'll let it overflow onto the ground and lay in it to stay warm, stay cool, to cool down. Yet it says that there's a law that that they keep their facilities between 85 and 76 degrees. Yet the lawsuit alleges that there's 110 degrees. Sometimes it gets up to 113 at times, and they're trying to say, look, we need, this needs to be at least bearable. Now, I also say, what about the correctional officers? You know, how can they put up with this amount of heat? And so the lawsuit says that they've got to just drop it down. But the House recently in Texas passed a bill requiring prisoners to be kept between 65 and 85 degrees, right? But it failed in the Senate. So that never went through. So the issue is, you know, do they spend the money and put air conditioners in these Texas jails or not? But yeah, I'm trying to find it. Todd said that it's only about one, but I see the issue here. It's talking about multiple, but it's saying that a certain percentage of the jails do not have air conditioning. It's a large percentage. I'm looking that up, trying to find that while you talk.
So I see a couple of issues here, and unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on where you sit on this, the idea of inmates' rights while they're incarcerated isn't one that gets a lot of traction. There's not a lot of people that are going to go to bat for those that are incarcerated. Regardless of the offense, it can be the worst of the worst crimes. It can be a white-collar crime. It can be what we call the victimless crime. It doesn't matter. Once somebody goes to jail, they're all kind of lumped together. And so, to a certain extent, I think there's a lot of the, yeah, who cares if it's a little hot for the inmates, you know? I think that there's a certain amount of apathy there where people just don't care too much. And then the second issue here is, The evidence to support this lawsuit, all right, so they're citing one instance where an individual who was actually convicted, I believe he was convicted murderer, suffered a medical crisis because he was in a jail cell that reached 110 degrees. So there's an instance where he was in a jail cell that reached 110 degrees, but the other claims that, oh, those cells could get up to 130 degrees were made by Texans who at one point in time spent time in the jail, but I didn't really see anything where there was any hard evidence that somebody had gone in and routinely checked the temperature to show this is how hot it is here. And I think Texas is coming back saying, look, on average in this area, between June and August last year, the average was 85.3 degrees, which makes it sound like, well, okay, it's a little uncomfortable but not unbearable. What people need to understand about averages is, well, that means that you might have some days where it's down around 70 and some days where it's up around 100, down around 60, up around 110. It really depends on how many days you have that are in triple digits. And I think that this is going to cause people to investigate. Texas doesn't seem to have wanted to shell out the money to right. install air conditioning systems. Again, because a lot of people take the view, oh, it's just a bunch of criminals, you know. Oh, if you can't do the time, don't do the crime. And they come up with all those things.
And it's supposed to be a punishment anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah, but what about the correctional officers that are in there? Don't they, or do they have air conditioning in where they are? It's just the cells don't have them. Because they say that they are slowly since the 19... a certain amount of time, they've been putting in slowly more and more air conditionings in these prisons. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on here, but I know they're complaining about it. There's lawsuits going forth to say you have to you know, put air conditioners in so we don't roast. But wouldn't you think the employees would be upset about that? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
And before you say, well, it'd be tough for inmates to go ahead and prove something like this in a court of law, I would point out that I practiced criminal law in a jurisdiction where the local jail was subject to an ongoing court order out of federal court ordering the local jail, when they reached 98% capacity, they had to start releasing people because of a previous lawsuit that had said that the jail was overcrowded. And there's a judicial opinion, a ruling that went on for decades with that local jail where, hey, you know what? There were guys sentenced to 120 days. They'd been in for 10. It was a lower level of thing. Coming around the time where a lot of people were getting arrested, 4th of July, Christmas, you know, a lot of DUIs, they had to start releasing people. And once you get released, you can have 120 days to do. You get released after 10, and guess what? Your time is done.
Right.
And, you know, there's been an oversight of the correctional system in California for absolutely years. Yeah. And it stems from not having proper mental health treatment for the inmates. So these type of suits do have some traction sometimes.
They do.
So maybe they come out of jail, some of them that do, or prison, that are a little more rehabilitated, is what you're saying. If they had more mental health help and stuff like that.
Yeah, if they had mental health treatment, then they're being treated adequately and not mistreated.
Texas man is suing Cinemark movie theaters. Cinemark is huge over deceptive drink sizes. I gave it to you. Drink size deceptive practices. Those bad people. But you know what? We're going to find out. The guy was right. We'll be back.
If you have any questions or anything you'd like to talk about on Radio Law Talk, please feel free to send an email to info@radiolawtalk.com. Love to hear from you. You can call the show almost anytime. Sometimes we don't get all the calls, but we love hearing from you on Radio Law Talk. We'll be back.
Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease.
These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
How would you like to go on a five-star vacation for just $99? We're talking about the quality of a Westgate Resort for $99. Not for one night, but for three fantastic nights at one of their luxurious destinations across the United States. And you'll even get a free $100 Visa gift card just for making a reservation. We've got some of the choicest destinations that you'll love in the United States that you can choose from for just $99 for a three-night stay. Take your family, take a special loved one, but get away. Go on vacation with Westgate Resorts. Call now to make a reservation for just $99 and you get a free $100 Visa gift card. Call Westgate right now and book your vacation. Here's the number.
800-283-6730. 800-283-6730. 800-283-6730. That's 800-283-6730.
I'm going to Quick Quack Car Wash. Get my car washed, make it quick, quack, pretty, shiny, sexy, just because I want to. Don't drive dirty. Going to get my car suds in the Quick Quack Car Wash. It's the Quick Quack, quickest and the cleanest by far. We're talking three skinny minutes sitting right in your car. Watch 100 feet of cloth washing your car at the Quick Quack Car Wash. Any Honda, Mazda, Ford, or Chevy, Saab, or Cadillac, Quick Quack will spruce her up just like that. You'll be happy looking snappy. You'll be glad you was at the Quick Quack Car Wash. Get on the web and go to don'tdrivedirty.com and see where you got your closest Quick Quack in the local area. Get in your car, get in your truck, get on the road and come visit the duck.
Quick Quack Car Wash, where your car will always leave happy, guaranteed. They take pride in being clean and green by conserving and recycling the water they use only at the
Quick Quack Car Wash. Quick
Quack. You love your dog. Is something bothering him or her and you can't figure out what it is? Maybe they seem slow or lethargic, and maybe they just don't have energy. Wouldn't you like your dog to be living their very best life? Pet Joy offers a money-back guarantee on all of its products. If your dog won't eat it or you don't see the results you want, just let us know and we'll make it right. Totally risk-free. What do you have to lose? You can't buy Pet Joy multivitamins in a store. The only way you can get them is through this unique radio offer. And if you call right now, learn how to get two bottles free with your order. Turn your dog's life around and make him or her a happy camper. Ain't that right, boy? He said call PetJoy right now. 800-711-9218. 800-711-9218. 800-711-9218. That's 800-711-9218. Are you having a difficult time getting in and out of your old bathtub? Here's a new, affordable idea to consider. When you bought your home years ago, you had a traditional bathtub, and you put a shower curtain in it, and it lasted for years. But now, maybe you or your mom is having difficulty getting in and out of a high-step tub. For some people, that can be an accident waiting to happen. If you or one of your parents is in this situation and you don't want to spend thousands and thousands of dollars, call Steve at Senior Safety Pro Tub to Shower today. They can help you convert any old bathtub into a walk-in shower, in some cases under $2,000, in about a week. It's simple, beautiful, and priced just right. Call Steve right now for your free consultation. 800-832-1549. 800-832-1549. 800-832-1549. That's 800-832-1549.
Learn how thousands of smart homeowners are investing about a dollar to avoid expensive home repair bills. John, a former non-customer, said, "My air conditioner broke and I had to spend $1,900 to fix it." Jeff, a customer, wrote, "My air conditioner broke and I got a new one at no out-of-pocket cost." Mary, a former non-customer, wrote, "My heating system stopped running. I had to spend $3,000 to get a new one." Lisa, a customer, wrote, "My heater stopped working. I got it fixed at no out-of-pocket cost." For about $1 a day, you can have all the major appliances and systems in your home guaranteed fixed or replaced with HSC's home warranty coverage. Call now, and the first month is free. If the lines are busy, please call back.
Call now, 800-238-9182, 800-238-9182, 800-238-9182. Again, that's 800-238-9182.
Hey, what's going on in here?
Nothing. Just taking a bathroom break.
It's hard to be sure, sir.
Radio Law Talk. Now back to the show.
Bump, 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 bump. Oh. All right. This is the Texas man is suing Cinemark, the movie theater, because he's saying that they're being deceptive on how much they're giving their patrons in drinks. That's a 24-ounce cup, and it doesn't, even to the top of the brim, doesn't hold 24 ounces. Well, there is a camera crew that went out from the local television station, the news station, that actually did the experiment that I watched. On the bottom of the cup, it says 24 ounces, 24 OZ. They brought a 24-ounce bottled water and poured it in, and only about 22 ounces went to the top before it was about ready to spill over. Now, first of all, maybe the 24-ounce water bottle was ripping you off, and it's really not 24 ounces.
That's what I was thinking.
You never know. I mean, they're ripping you off, too. But they were correct. It did not. It was about 22 ounces. If the bottle's correct, the amount of money, the amount of ounces in that bottle of water that they put in, then it is not a 24. It was like 22 ounces, and that's at the very top. And you know they don't fill it. I mean, it was like going over the edge. So it's probably getting about 20 ounces is what he's getting. So he is actually suing all the Cinemark theaters in a class action suit, saying that they are misleading the customers and intentionally misleading customers and not giving them the amount of beer or soda they're asking for. So last year, by the way, there was a lawsuit, remember, against McDonald's and Wendy's for false advertising about the size of their hamburger meat. McDonald's and Wendy's won that. That was thrown out. They won that lawsuit about false advertising. But here's the one that's interesting. Remember Red Bull used to have, and this is talking about false advertising, Red Bull used to have that advertisement that said the basic slogan, Red Bull gives you wings. I remember that shows the picture of the wings flying.
Yes.
Well, they paid $13 million in a settlement in a class action suit that claimed their advertising is false because we can't fly with wings and fly away. And they paid Red Bull paid $13 million on that. So here we go. The
wow.
Question is 12, is it worth the, You know, is it worth the money to make these individuals give them an actual 24-ounce cup? I'll tell you right now, Cinemark's going, you know what Cinemark's doing if they're smart? If they're going to do anything, they're going to cross-complain against the who? Manufacturer of the cup. Hey, you guys, it says in the bottom of the cup, it says 24 ounces.
Sounds like something the accountant would come up with. Let's just short them a couple of ounces. Nobody will notice. It's no big deal.
Or
the engineer.
But guess what? It's got to be the cup. The cup on the bottom, Cal, says 24 OZ on the bottom.
Well, it's lying, yeah.
So maybe they're out as we bought a 24-ounce cup.
Or they can say our measurer was off and we didn't know it.
Or put this. On that where it says 24 ounces up on the kiosk, 24-ounce cup. And then it says on the bottom, 24-ounce cup.
Well, you know, I wonder if it's like the uncooked hamburger. I wonder if it's 24 ounces before they actually form the cup. Because they say the quarter pounder is a quarter pound before you cook it.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So maybe the cup was the appropriate size before they actually formed it or some weird thing like that.
It could be 24 ounces in weight.
That's what I was thinking. Maybe their defense is going to be, no, 24 ounces refers to weight, not volume.
Excellent.
Oh, there we go.
I love when you guys think like lawyers.
We are thinking
that
loud.
That's exactly where I was going. It's weight, not volume. Weight? So we're actually overselling.
That's awesome. Well, I don't know. That's interesting. I'm so curious now to go get a 24-ounce drink and take it home and fill it up with 24 ounces of water. That's probably not the exact amount of 24 ounces. Remember, you get the bag of chips, and it says so many ounces or so much weight, and you look at it and go, really?
And then it has that little disclaimer: contents may have settled during shipping.
Yeah.
And you open it up, it's like only a third full. Like what the heck?
Anyway, anything else you want to talk about this? But we're going to watch this. This is kind of interesting.
Do you think it will become a class action?
Well, I think they filed it. So just so you know, class actions, just because you file it, the courts have to agree to make it a class action. But the court documents, this Shane Waldrop is bringing the lawsuit, but I think they're trying to bring it as a class action. And let's see. Yeah, I don't know that a class action has been brought forth at this point. All right, now we got the Denise. You were going to talk about this interesting $12 million settlement.
Yeah, there was a Crawford Coal factory, and it was in this little tiny town of a village. Oh gosh, what was it called? Little Village. And it was like the center of the town, of course. Everybody worked there, but it caused a lot of problems because it had a lot of fallout with coal, right? And it had a lot of it created bad air. So it ultimately went out of business. And when it went out of business, it was in a really good location. And so this company bought that property with the idea that they're going to make a Target distribution center. And the people in Little Village, they didn't want a Target distribution center. They had already dealt with a lot of coal fallout and bad air because of that plant. And so they tried to stop it, but that didn't happen. And in fact, the property was okayed, basically, by the city for that type of development. And unbeknownst to anybody in Little Village, the company that bought this property imploded the smokestack
they knocked it down.
They knocked it down. They made it implode, right, thinking that would be the safest way to take care of it. But they didn't tell anybody. And it happened on Easter Day. And
the dust cloud.
Cloud went over and settled in this little village. And a lot of people were, coughing and had lung ailments and different kinds of problems from it, right?
I watched that video. I saw the actual video.
It was pretty impressive, actually.
Yeah, that was crazy.
But you saw the dust clouds, right?
Anybody hide any Easter eggs in there or anything like that?
I don't think they did. I mean, can you imagine on Easter having this happen? I found the date and the timing all wrong. But anyway, there was a settlement of this class action suit. The class was limited to so many people that were in the vicinity of this coal.
Well, like the fallout zone, you mean, Denise?
Yeah,
like
basically. Okay. Even though there are people that could have been injured, that were beyond that zone, the federal judge approved the settlement. And it's a $12.25 million settlement in this class action. But you know how much, just guess how much the victims are going to get each.
$2. A couple hundred bucks.
$200 to $400.
Yes.
Wow.
The lawyers made the money. Is that what you're trying?
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Because
it was a little village. There's not like that many people. So the lawyers made the money.
Those dang lawyers.
Takes a village.
Takes a village to raise a lawyer.
In this case, to feed one.
Yeah. Todd, speaking of raising a village, what about Uber Eats? Your friend, your best friends.
You know, everybody.
You gotta be careful because they won't deliver to you anymore.
I don't actually use the Uber Eats. I use a different carrier that takes it right to my door in a dash, if you will.
Oh.
And so Uber Eats is. They're getting called on the carpet in Las Vegas, Nevada, and this is the first time I've ever heard. We've covered cases on copyright infringement, counterfeit stuff here. We're trademark infringement, where the concern is you think you're going to get our product, but you're getting some other inferior product. Blah. I have never heard that applied to restaurant takeout, essentially, until now, because this is what's going on in Las Vegas. There, at least. Four restaurants that are claiming that on the Uber Eats app, there are counterfeit virtual kitchens that use the same logo as the actual establishment, like Esther's Kitchen is the actual establishment. But on Uber Eats, there's this virtual kitchen of somebody just running out of their house or something, and they offer the same menu. So when the consumer buys and thinks they're getting it from Esther's Kitchen, as alleged, what's happening is the Uber driver is really going to this virtual kitchen, picking up the same dish, and then delivering it. The consumer is none the wiser. They think they've gotten the actual food, and the actual restaurant is getting none of that business. That is the Uber Eats class action lawsuit that they are facing right now because of these virtual kitchens. I've never heard of this before, but apparently... it's a thing.
We're going to watch it.
And they're being sued.
We're going to watch it. Come back. We're going to talk about the Watch Bandit dude. We'll be back.
More coming up on Radio Law Talk right here. A couple of breaks left, and you want to stay here for all of them because quick takes are coming up at the end of the show as well. You are listening to Radio Law Talk, and thanks to your radio affiliates and to RadioLawTalk.com for making sure the whole show comes your way every day, every Saturday. We'll be right back.
Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease.
These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
Attention! If you owe back taxes to the IRS is cracking down by hiring 87,000 new agents to garnish your paycheck and put liens on homes and businesses. They can even seize your bank account. The IRS calls it enforced compliance, and now they have the manpower to get you. Penalties and interest on unpaid taxes compound daily. So call One-Stop Tax Relief Shop and get the IRS off your back. They're experts in the Fresh Start Initiative, one of the biggest breaks the IRS has ever offered. Call 800-501-2533. 800-501-2533. One Stop Tax Relief has resolved thousands of cases since 2014 and saved clients millions of dollars. Call now for a free consultation. Get the IRS off your back. Call 800-501-2533. 800-501-2533.
Know someone with a drinking or drug problem? Learn how to get sober after we share these stories.
I was 35 with two beautiful children when my life and addiction started to spiral out of control. After my divorce, I went into a depression cycle and started drinking more often and using prescription drugs. After my second DWI and arrest, my ex-husband threatened to take our children away from me.
I was 17 when I became addicted to heroin and meth. I thought I could quit on my own, but I couldn't. It hit me when I was arrested.
Get sober now. Your private insurance may cover costs, and we'll get you here. It's simple. Just call Elite Rehab Placement right now. Please, don't wait. Your life matters to us. 800-918-1376. 800-918-1376. 800-918-1376. That's 800-918-1376.
Every 40 seconds, a kid is reported missing. Find the Children provides educational material that teaches your kids how to recognize and avoid predators. Our recovery programs are very successful in bringing kids back home to their family. You can help protect our kids and bring the missing kids home safe by donating your unwanted car, truck, SUV, or van. Running or not, we guarantee you will receive the maximum tax deduction. We provide fast free pickup, usually within 24 hours. Over 2,000 kids are reported missing every day. Call now to donate your vehicle. Donate now to bring these kids home safe.
Call 800-771-4877. 800-771-4877. 800-771-4877.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-493-6112. 800-493-6112. 800-493-6112. That's 800-493-6112.
Of a big deal. Round up the usual suspects.
It's time for more Radio Law Talk with Denise Dirks, Todd Kunin, and your host, Frederick Penny. Frederick Penny.
So the guy by the name of Anthony, I'm just saying Anthony because I don't want to give him too much publicity. I got to tell you this story, so sit back and listen. This is a story about a young man who grew up in Texas, who was a foster child that grew up in foster homes, had a rough upbringing, has been in and out of jail. Apparently, when he was 17 years old, pulled a knife on his stepdad, and he claimed, oh, the stepdad beat me or hit me, so I pulled a knife. So he's been in and out of jail, DUIs.
Lived in a house without air conditioning.
Et cetera. Yeah.
Texas. Lived in a house,
that's exactly right. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So he comes up with this idea later on. He's 35 now, as of, like, this year. He comes up with this idea that, you know what? I'm going to go out on the internet, I'm going to go on Instagram and on YouTube and become popular and sell high-end watches, high-end timepieces. Because what's happened is it's regulated, but the secondary sales of high-end watches is not regulated. It's what's called, you know, they call it black market. It's called a gray market. So it's not a black market, but a gray market. It's a really small market, and those, you know, there's some very wealthy people that do this. And he said, you know what? I'm going to do this, and I'm going to expose. He had this idea. I'm going to expose kind of what happens behind the scenes on my Instagram and YouTube channel. And he hires and brings in this these YouTuber, these people who film him, and basically a day in the life of a watch broker. And it takes off. He goes to 50,000 viewers, then 110,000, and he starts making a lot of money. And as the time went on, he was just doing really well, raking it in. In fact, to the point in 2021, he was bringing in $3 million approximately. This is him. You know, they interviewed him. And by the way, this interview was all done the day before he was arrested by a reporter. And this is an awesome reporter by the name of David Kushner that did this.
Kushner
did this investigation and interview, and so good job, David. And so he's interviewing this guy this whole time, right? And it's taking him from the beginning to the end. And this guy's doing $3 million a year. At one time when he was back in, and he started doing this in L.A., but he was doing it in Texas at first. At one time, he got to the point where he was doing so well that he was renting a downtown L.A. penthouse for $90,000 a month. Again, I'll repeat that, $90,000 a month, and he was affording it. Now, according to what I've read and what they interviewed and checked into is the watchmakers on the secondary market generally charge 10%. And, I mean, a $300,000 watch is an expensive watch. That's still $30,000. That sounds like a lot. But you're paying $90,000 a month in just your rent in your L.A. apartment? That's going pretty high. And don't forget, a lot of this stuff is going on over the internet, you know, in the mail. For the issue is mail fraud, right? That's the question, or wire fraud. So the argument is this is a Ponzi-type scheme, that he was taking money and he would have people assign watches to him. He would sell it to pay off other debts in order to cover and then not pay the people for a long time. And he continued to build this up till this 2021 where he really, really was doing well. As this guy was interviewing him just recently, he was living on the beach, living under the, you know, where the lifeguards sit, those lifeguard towers. He was living under a lifeguard, in a sleeping bag, had no place to live, was homeless, still had this I want to call it a storage facility with all these watches in there. And he went online on YouTube and talked about it and said, I've been scamming, or basically not scamming, but I've been doing wrong things, and I'm in $3 to $5 million in debt. I can't remember if it's three or five, but he talks about it. But he said he's not doing anything illegal. Even though it's unregulated, he said he's not doing anything illegal. So, and it's interesting, he says in that industry, you don't ever put down the price of something. You come, you meet them, you negotiate. So he started putting the prices down, which kind of got the local secondhand watch people upset. And so he started doing that. And this is what I want to bring up. You know how he first started selling these high-end watches? Listen to this story. It's really quick. I'll make it quick. He would go into these bars where he knew the rich people were hanging out. When I say rich, it was roofers, plumbers, some of the wealthy, you know, those people do very well. And he'd have his watch on. There's a really high-end watch. And he'd sit next to him and always use his hand forward and back, get his water. And so they would see it until they would approach, wow, where'd you get that watch? And that's how he'd do the sales. That's how he first started. And that's how he got his big break, is doing it that way. So as time goes, he continues to do this, and then it's became transparent after the roof fell through. Everything fell apart after the what do you call it?
So he was consigning and not paying off the consignments for a while.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
And then it all fell to pieces after COVID, because during COVID there was a lot of that going on. Long story short, I know it's just dragging on, but it's very interesting. He finally realizes, I can't keep up with this scheme.
Yeah.
And he does this. He was dropping $18,000 a night, you know, parties he was throwing. And what happens is this guy finally interviews him out on the beach, sleeping in the sleeping bag. And the very next day after this interview, FBI raided him and arrest him and raided his little locker. And he admits that he has a lot of money that he owes people, but now he's in jail, and we're going to see what happens. But it's very interesting how he went from being nothing to going big, and then just it went to his head.
Well, you know, and one of the issues here was earlier on he says, you know, what I'm doing is not illegal, and he claimed that. Here's the illegality. It was a Ponzi scheme, and he was using telephone and wire to communicate with people to sell their watches on consignment, do things, and then not remitting the money to them, using the proceeds to buy other watches.
Right.
That's wire fraud. That's the illegality. The Ponzi scheme is illegal, and he was using this medium to communicate. That's why he's facing it. It's what the FBI uses to get folks.
So we're going to follow that through. That's what's
Sam
going on.
Sam Bankman-Fried didn't think he was doing anything illegal either, right? I mean, the crypto guy. Everybody's going to say, I'm not doing anything illegal, but that should be a cue, maybe.
Well, that's pretty obvious. You take someone's watch, you sell it, you don't give them your money. Take your 10%, give them their money, you keep the money, and there's guys that are out millions of dollars right now.
Yeah, I think Michael Avenatti is like, I settle a case, I have the money, I don't give it to the person that I'm representing.
And I use it.
But I loan them money.
I'm not doing
I loan them their own money at a percentage.
I'm not doing anything illegal.
Anyway, that's about all we've got time for this week. We got the third hour. We appreciate you being here with us, but we have our final thing that we do at the very end, those of you who are first joining us, and it's called Quick Takes.
And Fred, let's start with you. I bet you have a quick take for us.
Oh, sure. We talk about the drink size case. Let me tell you. I'm going to go to the Cinemark from now on because I can lose weight because I can mentally think I'm getting 24 ounces and only get 20 ounces. And maybe they'll just do that with the popcorn too. Then I can lose my weight and I'll be happy. I think I ate enough.
Taking the slow approach. Now, Mr. Kunin, what is your quick take?
My quick take is on the exact same thing about the guy with the class action. I noted that the cup that he bought it while he was at the theater on Valentine's Day. How bad does your Valentine's Day date have to be going when the primary cup size you're interested in is the one holding your drink?
Well, all right, fair enough. Denise, what about you? What's your quick take?
What did we learn from the Texas inmates case? It was very surprising. Texas inmates are too hot.
Oh, there you go, Denise. Woohoo! We'll be back next week, always Pacific time, 9 to noon. See you later.
Thanks so much for listening to Radio Law Talk. Fred, Denise, and Todd will be joining you next week, every Saturday, 9 to noon Pacific time. And don't forget, it's available free via podcast at RadioLawTalk.com. Thanks for listening.
Radio Law Talk and RadioLawTalk.com. Ten, nine, eight, seven, six. You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com. A copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk Incorporated.